Blog Talk Radio.
Solar Records Radio. What's up, Phoenix?
Hey, my brother. It's all good in sunny Las Vegas, Nevada.
I love it. I love it. You know, we have the sun out here, fortunately, and we have been blessed with the sun because it's been cold. We had some real cold nights this last week. And prior to that,
Didn't you guys get a storm?
That's what I mean. Prior to that, we had the storm, and that storm came in the ice rain. What is that? Freezing rain, they call it, right? And that's ice falling down out of the sky. Wow. I'm like, what? That sounds like a big problem. And so, and it was because you know, I was just concerned about, you know, just everyone out there on the roads and stuff and trying to, you know, take care of their families and do what they have to do. In the meantime, they have to deal with this crazy opposition, you know, thing, this thing that's going to cause them some difficulties or could cause them difficulties. I know driving in it myself, it raises your blood pressure. You know, you get a little stressed out. Just, you know, trying to navigate and be safe and make sure you don't run into someone and not be the victim and get ran into. So, yeah, it was tough. And so we still, but it's winter. So we, as far as the cold is concerned, I mean, this is what it's supposed to be. But I'm just not used to it coming, being in California for 40 years. And because California, it hardly ever rains and it's always warm. So I got used to that. But now I wear long johns. I know that's too much information, but I decided to
the bully willies.
Yeah, I got to stay warm, man. I have to stay warm. So anyway, hello to all our listeners around the world. Much love to all you guys. Hey, Greg, thanks so much for blessing us again with your incredible artwork and all the other things that you do for us. We appreciate you. I'm not sure if Astrid is around, but hey, Astrid, just in case you are, this is it with Phoenix and myself at this point. Don Fleming wanted to chime in as well, so we will be waiting for him to chime in. Oh, Astrid is here. Hey, sweetheart. All right. So, and I know it's cold overseas as well. Man, oh, man. So, you know, the northern hemisphere is catching it. And do you hear the beeping? Can you hear that sound? Beeping sound?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay, cool. So no. It's just in my ears. Okay. All right. So I just wanted to also give a shout out to Dance Radio. We are sending them Dynasty's new music, and they're excited about. They always play our stuff and bless us. And Astrid, you know, she works with them over there. So I just want to say thanks again to Dance Radio because of Astrid pushing us over there. Thank you so much, and thanks to Linda Carrier for putting those drops together also. And also hanging out with us yesterday on a Don show last night. We had a good time chopping it up with her. But now it's time to get inside of Phoenix's brain here and see what's on the menu.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
A lot of air and mush.
A lot of air. Oh, my God. Well, you know, we want to talk about what are the idea qualities you look for in a relationship. And so, this is your forte, my brother. So what are the ideal qualities that one should look for in a relationship? And is this something that applies to the youth? Like, we're trying to tell our kids, hey, look, when you start to do this, this is what you should look for? Or do you see it not just for the youth, but as also for the adults?
Well, let me just preface by saying, you know, being submerged in the single man's mode for a protracted period of time, I came across certain patterns, if you will, within creative conversations and dialogue amongst many who were single. And I thought it would be an apropos topic to discuss because post-COVID, many have found themselves in a single position. And when you're in a single position, quite often you go to your compadres, your family members, maybe your congregational leaders, and you try to structure somehow within the framework of your mind what you're looking for in a relationship. And that's why I stressed ideal, because sometimes things are less than ideal. We live in a world that's not ideal. We live in a world that's imperfect. And so sometimes you have to tweak your laundry list as to what you want. And now what stands before you, the person may have 9 out of 10 attributes that you like, but maybe they're missing an important one. And so let's get into it a little bit in terms of what is ideal in terms of qualities and what are some of the typical patterns, if you will, that many people, like you mentioned, young, I don't even think this has an age, because you have young and old find themselves in a situation that they're looking for their life's partner. And maybe you're coming out of a failed relationship, and maybe you notice within that relationship people didn't, your mate did not communicate with you properly. And so now you want to try to rectify that in the new. And so one, I think first on the list would be the ability to communicate. And I do know, coming from the male point of view, quite often we're not always good in that department. You know, we have a lot of things sometimes that we're juggling in our mind and our workspace, workflow, whatever we do for a living. I know coming up as a young man, my dad was a very formidable gentleman, but when it came to communicating or being emotionally available to my mother, I'd have to give him a big F in that department. He failed to communicate, unless he was talking about himself, of course, which we do that a lot. So communication is huge, wouldn't you say, Wardell, in a relationship, when two people interface with one another? Once you get past breaking the ice, communication is top of the list, would you not say?
I know that with communication, all things are possible. And if you're not communicating I was in a relationship with my ex, and that's probably why she's my ex. That's one of the reasons. And I remember her having a breakdown with communications, not just with me, but with everyone and almost everything. Some people are not built to communicate. And I don't know why. They're distracted, you know, they're ADD. I don't know what it is. They just can't. But I remember us going to church together, and I'll say, what did you get out of that? And she don't know. She didn't have an answer.
She would just clam up.
Yeah, she was like, I was thinking, I said, listen, you know, it's okay if you didn't get it, but, you know, I said maybe, and I'll start talking about what I got out of it in hopes that she could, jump in, but she was unable to jump in because she really wasn't listening. So some people don't have the communication skills that a relationship needs to grow and to go. And so I feel really bad that that was the reality for me, because I remember talking to her and I really felt like I was talking to a wall, because there was no response, you know, and when she did respond, it had nothing to do with what I said. She was just tunnel visioned about what she wanted to say and how angry she was or how happy she was or whatever her mood was, but there was no communication between, we weren't communicating, and therefore it caused failure in our relationship.
Well, that's interesting. You know, I want to underscore a few things about what you're talking about. Communication, when we say communication, is such a broad and varied concept. There's silent communication. There's body language. You know, you don't necessarily have to audibly say something to someone to transmit communication, you know, just on body language. My past relationships, I've experienced it. In fact, I wrote a song called Silent Treatment. I used to hate the silent. My ex-wife could kill me with silent treatment. She could spend the whole day cook, clean, do laundry, and pass me, like my mother used to say, like a freight train. And we've all been waiting by the stop when a freight train is passing. It's like a million cars. It just doesn't stop. But it doesn't stop to let you on board. And so communication comes in varied facets. Silent treatment, body language, grimaces to the face. When you're with someone long enough, you can almost, their face is like a road map to how they feel. You almost know, you know what, we're going to have a good night. Or, you know, oh, it's that look. Oh, my God. So communication comes in varied facets, and it's important to be able to differentiate and discern those varied expressions. Because it can help you if your mode of operation is to interface with someone properly. When you're able to tune into their mode, you can communicate more effectively by simply being able to read their responses. Hopefully you're on point with it. And be able to adjust your mode accordingly to be adaptive to their mode. This does much to bridge the gap, you might say, in communication.
Okay. And we also have Don Fleming online with us. Don, how you doing, my brother?
I'm good. Good. Just joining in and listening in on the topic, man. So I don't know what I can contribute to, but I'm glad to be here nonetheless. I think it's important go ahead.
I was just going to say, just, you know, just trying to give you a little jump here, booster. Phoenix asked me, don't you think communication is important in relationships. And so I'm going to ask, I want to pass that baton to you and ask you, why do you think communication is important in relationships?
I mean, it's self-evident. I think, you know, within our, I mean, it is. I think with our emotions and our, how we curtail in our daily lives as far as what we're for, what we're against, what we love, what we hate. I mean, it all deals with a certain level of communicative skills. So my thing is, I just want to, you know, I want people to understand why, you know, communication is important. I mean, it's you would say it's easy to say it's self-evident, but let me go back, and I think there are basic, you know, body language is a form of communication. You know, it's always, sign language. If you're, you know, dating a young lady who, you know, is deaf or where, I mean, people think that communication is about talking. It's about, you know, saying, oh, I feel this way about you, or talk to me here, talk to me there. No, I think it's all about, you know, what we do with our bodies and how we communicate in many ways. And I don't think it's just
language.
Limited to voices.
Body language plays a big part, because I remember when you said that, I remember talking to her but I could dictate this with anyone when I'm talking to them. Their body is telling me by their movement, by their eyes, by the way they hold their head, by how they're listening, if they're even interested in what I'm saying, or if they're not interested in what I'm saying. I see all of that. So body language speaks loudly. It is loud, and it really is important. So definitely, that's good. That's a good point. I think.
And
about
I tell
that.
You, you know, we. I think we got the meat and potatoes from communication. We talked a little bit about, as mentioned, body language and how there's audible and inaudible responses to the communication issue. But the other thing that I'd like to bring in has to do with the patterns that I spoke about on the onset. In going through the dating process, I found so many women would talk about, I need you to make me laugh. Are you a man that is humorous? Are you funny? Do you have a sense of humor? And sometimes we can think of humor being just something silly. But if we just take a quick excursion into the entertainment facet, some of the highest paid personnel in the entertainment world are comedians, because comedians utilize, I believe, one of the highest forms of intelligence, and in bridging off of communication, the ability to make somebody laugh is to speak of a truism, is to say something that is truthful. Like if you're talking about a friend and, you know, for instance, they're accustomed to doing certain things. Maybe they come and they drink up all your wine, but they don't bring a bottle of wine, and you make a joke about it, then everybody's going to crack up, because they're going to say, man, that is sure enough the truth. So humor really involves and evokes a certain level of a higher form of communication in terms of wit. And this is something as a pattern that I've come across demonstratively. Women want to know from the male perspective, can you make me laugh? Very important in a relationship. What do you think?
Absolutely. I hear that all the time. And when girls are talking about, they're looking for a guy that makes me laugh, that can be serious when it's time to be serious, someone they can trust. But laughter is usually at the top of the list.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that people –
oh, yeah.
Because it makes you – laughter makes you – feel happy, and feeling happy,
and it breaks the ice.
Absolutely.
It breaks the ice too. You know?
And what about those?
I think when women talk about, I was just going to say, I wanted to add. I think when women you know, from my experience, I'll just say from my experience, and I'm not a licensed psychologist or anything like that. I'm just saying, I think a lot of women would say things like, well, I don't necessarily just go for looks. You know, I don't go for the aesthetics of a person per se. You know, yeah, I have to be attracted to them in a way, but I want to laugh. I want to think of a person that makes me laugh. And you can be, you know, not the most handsome cat in the world, can have a what you may call a Don piece, a beautiful woman, a trophy woman, whatever. As long as you can make her laugh, you can make her laugh. That's the beauty. And the crazy thing about it, you know, the women that I've, well, you know, in my dating history, as abbreviated as it might be.
I see you putting on the brakes there, but that's okay.
you know, I was able to, again, you know, make a woman laugh, and it was about the laughter. It was about, you know, getting a certain spot, that sweet spot, you know, to where it wasn't like, oh, I want to get her just for the sole purpose of you know, sleeping with her or whatever. Yeah. It was about compatibility. And right. If that time comes, then so be it. You know, I didn't have any problem with it. But in those first stages, it was about bringing some of that guard down a little bit, just to let it know, look, I don't know if it's that, well, I'm a safe guy, or it's not from that perspective. I just think that when, you know, I talk to women, I come from a you know, more of a humorous angle, and because that's the way I am, I try to be a funny cat, you know, that right, was right. My whole thing. So, but again, women, from my experience, they don't go for just the looks per se. They go for someone that it's about compatibility and what they are attracted to, because those virtues doesn't necessarily are incumbent on someone's looks, and it's never been really.
And when we delve into the quality of someone who is humorous, wouldn't we say it's the antidote to boredom? I mean, the worst thing in the world is to meet with somebody, maybe a friendly coffee date, or you may meet them for the first time for cocktails, and then there's this dead silence. There's no communication, no conversation. There's no electricity. And so, yes, it breaks down the, like you said, that wall to be able to jump into a comfort zone, to be able to say, hey, you know what? I'm here. I'm present. That's another word that I came across through my research of this topic. Women want to feel that you're present. And I thought of childhood days of being at school. The teacher would raise a topic, and then the teacher could tell that you're off somewhere in the wild blue yonder, and they would call your name, and they would say, are you present? So it really evokes the thought of you being in the vibe with the person that you're vibing with. And yes, a little bit of humor goes a long way to make a person feel comfortable.
I think that if you have two guys, if she's dating two guys, or he's dating two guys or two girls or whatever they're dating, right? And if you're dating someone, two of them, and they both have equal qualities, but one of them make you laugh all the time, it's like, you know what? I'm going to choose that one because I want to have fun in a relationship. I don't want it just to be about, okay, yes, we're compatible and we can do this thing together. You got a good job. I got a good job. I think we can have a good future. If you got somebody that's got that quality but also make you laugh and happy, and you just, you know, have this spontaneous fun at times when you don't even expect it, that's the kind of person that I think most people want to be with, because they can enjoy the relationship on top of having a good relationship. And that, to me, is key. So I'm glad that you brought up that, Phoenix, that laughter part. That's important.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, you know, again, patterns. As an artist, I look at patterns and shapes and colors and sizes. And so communication, we've bridged into being able to be humorous, to break down the walls, which is in association with communication. But let's introduce another concept within a quality. You know, when we think of a structure or building, we think of something that people can rely upon. You know, they're walking over a bridge, a footbridge. They know the structure is strong. It's reliable. And that's something within a relationship, particularly post-COVID. I know a lot of women are looking for, in a relationship, stability. And stability touches a few touchstones. You know, let's talk about that. What do you feel about stability in a relationship? What does that mean to you?
Don?
Oh, I think it means a lot. You know, again, when we talk about, you know, we talk about that wall coming down, or having a sense of compatibility, you know, trying to make sure that there is, you know, I am, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, jokingly, I say with levity, you know, not a pervert, or you want to be safe. You know, I think that's one of the, you know, because a lot of women, even in today's age, you know, a lot of them have their guards up. A lot of them feel, you know, feel that they can't bring down their guards, you know, to because of the today's day and age. But I think it's very important. And again, it's self-evident. I would like to get more, you know, into detail about it. But again, there's nothing else that I can pretty much just say.
Let me evoke this into the discussion. I recently met someone. First thing out of their mouth, they said to me, "What's your credit score?" I was thrown back on my heels.
Lord.
And being a typical New Yorker, of course, I had something witty and sarcastic to say. I said, you know, crime don't pay, you know. And everyone kind of laughed at the table, and just did that to diffuse the stiffness in the air. But, you know, there was a song that came out in our time period, "Nothing's Going On But the Rent." You got to have a J-O-B if you want to be with me.
Quinn Guthrie.
So within the confines, right, within the confines of stability is financial support. And here again is a situation that has been depleted because of COVID. Many people are out of work. They can't, you know, support themselves the way they used to. They've been laid off. Maybe, you know, recently now arts and entertainment is starting to pick up back here in Las Vegas, but it's affected people's pocketbooks. But it doesn't mean that you don't want to be in a relationship because you don't have that, because that's when you really are remiss even more so, because now you want someone to comfort you, but you don't have the funds. And so stability plays an awkward role. I mean, the flux of it can go up and down like a seesaw. Do you have the funds to make your significant other feel comfortable, to feel that stability within the relationship? So these are the many touchstones that I've come across in looking for those ideal qualities. They want to know that the man is financially sound. You know, what do you do for a living? It's usually the first thing out the box.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's smart. I don't think that it should be one of the first things that comes out of someone's mouth like that lady did you. But I think it's smart to look for that in a relationship, because, you know, it's about the foundation. You know, we're creating a foundation here. How high are we going to be able to go? And that would depend on the foundation, how stable it is. So you have to look for a good foundation, and that's stability. That's somebody that's going to be able to provide. That's someone that's serious about going to work. That's someone that wants to be their best and do their best in life, not just in a relationship with you, because it shouldn't be about you just yet. It needs to be about them. And I look at them and see what they're doing for themselves first, and then for their family, and then I would say, then I could probably see a good thing for myself in that. But that's important. Stability is top of the key, one of the top things as well. So I don't know which one is number one, but I just know that they all are important. They're all important.
It's a wild card with that, you know, especially when finances come into the fold. Then yeah, it does bring it brings up a whole new perspective in how you can maneuver through that, and how women maneuver through that. So I totally agree, man. Totally.
I'm glad you said that, because it's such a flux, you know, when you look at personality traits. And let's pick on the male side, and I'll come from the male vantage point. Some men are taken aback if a woman makes more money than they do. And I think that's unfair, mm-hmm. because, you know, if you are comfortable in your skin and you are attracted to a female and you happen to find out that she makes money hand over fist over you, this should not diminish your role as a man. In fact, I think it's something that is worthy of your admiration towards her. And I think that, you know, along the lines of communication is the ability to, you know, not say something like I've had many people say, oh, you're flattering me. And I'm a very spiritually motivated individual. And I've done research in the past on that word, and I would say to them, no, flattery is a form of lying, and I don't want to be in a position to be known to you as a liar. If I say something to you, it's because I mean it. And so, yes, there creates a whole new dynamic when economics is brought into the picture. It's going to evoke your weaknesses and your strengths, so get ready for it, because I like what Don is saying. He introduced into the discussion that it creates a whole different dynamic. Yes, it's okay to say, yeah, I want someone stable. I want someone who can support me. I want someone that I know that's going to be the strong shoulder to lean on. That's all grits and gravy. But when you get into the intricacies of what you do, let's say he's a cop, and let's say you're the flight and scary type. Every day you're worrying about if he's going to come home. So now you're attached to the monetary gain of what he makes, but you don't particularly like his job. That creates a whole other dynamic of such. You know, we know today these are very dangerous jobs. Or maybe he's a doctor. And your concept, okay, he makes a lot of money, but that means I'm not going to be able to see you often. And so along the lines of economics, I've had many say, well, do you have enough free time to devote to this relationship? I hear you saying you're involved in doing a lot of things, but what does that mean in terms of the relationship? Are you going to be able to spend adequate time with me? Are you going to carry your work to the bedroom? Are you going to constantly be – like I have one of my buddies. He's a great gentleman, but he's getting more and more and more women that are telling him, I can't stand to go out with a date with you because you're married to your cell phone. And we can take a whole nother talk show based on your phone ethics. This guy, I sit down with him. I'm like, well, why did I ask to have lunch with you? But you're having lunch with your phone. It's rude. So all of these things come into play, you know, with the economic aspect of a relationship. What's your thoughts on that?
Excuse me. Go ahead, repeat that one more time. I'm so sorry.
In other words, we're talking
I'll answer.
We're
I'll,
Okay. Good.
I'll answer, Don. He's so basically, you know, I think that there's – you have to really pay attention. You have to – when you are getting into something with someone, you have to pay attention to these things and create your own answers to those questions, as opposed to asking someone, are you going to be able to give me the time? I will see if you're giving me the time or not. I will be able to tell by your movements. I'm paying attention to everything you do. I'm paying attention to those flowers. I'm paying attention to not getting the flowers. I'm paying attention to the dinner. I'm paying attention to when we're sitting there and you're not on your phone, or if you're on your phone, I'm paying attention to how much attention you give me. I'm paying attention to what you feel. If you feel like I
who do you give your you're saying who do you give your attention to? Yeah, who do you give your attention to? Because there are a lot of women that feel pretty salty when they engage in a relationship, and then they underscore this guy as a mama's boy. You're so much into your mama, when your mama calls you, you go running. But you don't show me the same attention like Wardell is bringing to the fore here, that I need as a woman to respond with you. And so, yes, and I love how you put that. You gave me a little bit more meat than I was expecting to chew on, Wardell, in terms of paying attention. And you said some things that I thought was a learning curve, I think, perhaps for some of our audience listeners, that I'm asking questions, but I have answers. In other words, do these ideal characteristics, which is what we're looking at today, I'm looking to see what you're doing, how you're doing. Your actions are speaking to me louder than your words now. I'm noticing that you're selfish with your phone. I'm noticing that when your buddies call, you run. You tell me you're a musician, but you're married to your music to the point where you're not married, or I can't see you being married to me. These are the questions that are quite astute. And I wonder if some of our audience, depending upon your age group, because I know us older ones, we've been beat up a little bit, and we've been through the process, and we've learned from our previous emotional scars. But as a younger person, these are excellent objectives to look at in a relationship. Ask intelligent questions and have a framework. That's the key. Have a framework for the potential answers based on this person's actions, which speak louder than words. Beautiful. I love it. What do you think? Silence is golden.
Oh, sorry. I'm here. I had my mic on mute. Real quickly before I skip over this, we're getting some messages. One said, yes, exactly. I mean, these are there's stuff that was happening, and I didn't even see these messages. And then one says, laughter is important in a relationship, also respect. And then And then another one is, hold on, let me open it up. It says, is it more important than we share interests or values? And the other is, love can only express itself in one way, actions. So I gave you guys a lot right there. I'm so sorry, but.
There's a lot of meat on there. Yes, laughter is important. Core values. You know, one of the things I like to ask the beginnings of a relationship, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? You know, are you attached so emotionally to your siblings? If you're fortunate, unlike myself, to have your parents still alive, does it matter if you leave the country? Would you relocate to New York? Would you come to Las Vegas? Or maybe you have another place in mind that you would feel most comfortable in. These come down to core values. These come down into projecting possible scenarios in the future. Where do you see yourself? These are very intelligent questions that I think sometimes we're remiss. I know within my circle of friends, I get a lot of my buddies will come to me for emotional assistance or resistance sometimes. And these are some of the things that I bring to the attention. Once they get past how beautiful and, oh, man, did you see her shape and, oh, my God. These are nice. They're superficial. But I do agree wholeheartedly with one of your listeners that said it all boils down to your actions. You know, if you say you love me and you say you're attracted to me, but I text you at 8:30 in the morning and then you text me back at 11:45 p.m. that night, which is another topic that we can talk about at another time, your text response, or you just want to text, but you don't want to pick up the phone and say, hello, babe, how are you? Hey, dog, here's a bone. Something. These all come under the reclusion of communication, respect, and appreciation for somebody that you want to develop a lasting relationship with, right?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, you know, there are a litany of things that we can discuss. I don't think an hour would encapsulate them all, but we've been talking about communication, laughter, finances. Let's put another thing. Let's throw another attribute or quality into the mix. Hygiene. I recently was on the path of some new cologne. I was on the path of getting some new cologne, and I went to a couple of fragrance centers, and I went to Dillard, and it was brought to my attention, this new fragrance, and I'm not promoting it, but Creed. C-R-E-E-D. It's $450 for a bottle of this thing. But I'm told, man, if you wear Creed, women will just flock to you like flies on a garbage truck. And I smelt it, and I didn't. To me, it wasn't nothing fantastic. But it comes under the heading of hygiene. Women want you to smell good. Some women don't like the cologne you're wearing and don't tell you until 6 months later. You know what, buddy? That cologne you wear, I can't stand that smell. That's also a bridge to communication. But hygiene, your breath, you're just, some people just have a certain scent that just doesn't gel with the next person.
Great.
I mean, that's
Phoenix.
Just, huh?
You're killing me, Larry. it's all true, but dang, do you have to say it?
Yeah, you have to, because, you know.
You're right. Let me give you an example, Phoenix, of what you're saying. This happened to me, and, you know, so I know that women, and you know, some of us guys, we're hard workers, right? And some of us, we just work so hard, and we love our mates. And we love them, and we do what we got to do, but work really hard. And some of the things that we don't pay attention to, because it's almost like it's minor. It's I'm really working hard. Please don't pay attention to my nails. Please don't pay attention, you know, that I have dirt under my nails when we go out to eat, or I'm not, you
not
know,
good.
That stuff bothers women. And some
big
men.
Time.
And so you you have to pay attention to these things, you know, because if it will it bother you if you see that with your girl? So you have to be careful. You have to, if you want something,
hygiene
then you
is
have
major,
to
bro.
Do something. Treat people the way
something.
You want to be treated.
A friend of mine who's a dancer, a professional dancer here in Las Vegas on one of the major shows, and she's a hugger. And when she sees me, oh, my God, she wants to give me a hug. And I cringe. because when I hug her, the smell is horrific. And I can't take it. It's not so much that it's unclean. It's a cultural
thing. It's
just
sweating.
And it's the sickness of the smell. It's a particular body odor that this particular individual has, and it's thick. And I know for a fact, because I have some other friends, that it kind of came up in a soft discussion, and they went to this individual like bullseye. So it goes on both ends of the stick, hygiene, smelling good, and having the right scent. Maybe your thing is musky, thick, dark scents, and your potential mate wants light, flowery, airy scents. Maybe I know one particular lady mentioned to me that smell, it smells, what was the term she used? Artificial. I don't like that artificial smell. And so we can spend a whole segment just on scents. You know, people now are starting to understand aromatherapy, but in a positive sense. I mean, people understand aromatherapy, candles. There's certain candles that give off certain artifacts, and I understand other candles that are organic don't give off the same artificial artifacts. And so, brothers, be careful. We're coming upon one of the worldly holidays where chocolate and candy and dinner seems to be the call of the day. But maybe you might want to do some research into the candle you're using. Maybe you might want to do some research into the scent you're wearing. Or some of our brothers, maybe you want to think twice about burning that incense. Kind of make it break it into
out,
a conversation.
A lot of guys have a problem with me. A lot of guys, they tease me. And I've learned not to. And I shouldn't say a lot of guys, but just a couple, a few, like Don. No, I'm just playing. I don't know if Don has a problem with it. But, like, brothers usually do because we play the macho thing a lot. And so I'll go get a manicure and a pedicure. And they go, what?
Mm-hmm.
I go, what? They go, what are you talking about? Man, I've got to tell you, it's the most relaxing thing I've ever done. My girl, she looks at me and my hands and my feet, and it makes her feel good. She's like, I love that you take care of yourself. And it's important that you take care of yourself, you know, especially,
mm-hmm.
It's not just for you,
absolutely.
But it's for also for your mate. It's also for that person on the other side that wants to cuddle with you. And all this stuff. So if you're taking care of yourself, it really blesses not just you, but the person that you're with. And so I wish that some other people would think about that and not be so critical.
Well,
about
think about it. A lot of times, men are very short-sighted. And I'm just going to put something out there, not to evoke or stimulate the wrong thoughts, but just for you, something to digest and think about. If you're going to get intimate with somebody, you've got dirty fingernails. Hello? News.
Right.
Mm.
Exactly.
This is not hygienic. Right. And so you have to think about taking proper care of yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, showers are nice. I used to know people that love to take showers. I'm a bath guy. I want to soak in the tub. And then after I soak, I want to rinse in the shower. I love it. Showers
mm-hmm.
are quick when you're running in and out. But sometimes, my friends, you need to take a bath, a deep tissue soak,
absolutely.
Scrub.
Hey, listen.
These things are hygienically important for your skin.
Right. So, listen, we got 10 minutes left. I want to read this question for both of you guys. Either one of you guys could go first, whoever wants to take it, but I need to get this question in. It says, being in love, this is from the listeners, being in love should mean there is a strong connection and not a strong dependency. How can I be sure where my relationship sits?
Nice.
Either one.
I love.
You know what?
I love. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was going to I'm thinking of, you know, it's funny when you say that, it's one of those, it's a coming to America type thing. Will she love me because I'm a goat herder? You know, she loves me, I'm a prince, and I can give her these riches, or can she love me that I'm a goat herder? You know, and and it almost seems like, you know, you want to, and I don't believe in playing games like that, but I think there's a sense of understanding that if there's going to be some genuineness, if that's the word, to be true to what you love and to versus what you're there for necessity. You know, there has
well,
to be,
I've been,
how do you, go ahead.
No, I was, it evoked a thought. I've been criticized by one of my go-to expressions by men and as well as women. And I said, I love you, you mean the world to me. And I will do the world for you. Just don't ask me to. And one of the things that I was able to extrapolate from the listener mentioning a strong connection to me is mystical and magical from the standpoint that there are certain inaudible things that I should know about you that I should be able to do. Because I instinctually know you, and to speak out of turn or to overabuse or use the relationship monetarily or even a physical thing that you need and not look to be reciprocal becomes an issue. I think many times when I've dealt with marriage counseling between two people, and I've mentioned this in previous discussions, what brought you here? How did you get here? What did you do to contribute to the problem? Well, maybe the fact that you were not intuitive, you were not instinctual, you couldn't read each other's thoughts and intentions inaudibly, you weren't willing to reciprocate, you had a long laundry list of I want. Well, what did you bring to the table? See, this becomes a reciprocal thing that I find sometimes on both sides of the equation, men and women. You know, you have this, I want, but you never say we, us. And I've mentioned this in the past. You have an I problem because all you say is I. You never say we, and you never say us. Something to consider.
Elizabeth Taylor said, always keep some mystery about yourself. Just a quote.
Beautiful. Yeah, mystical, magical. And women love that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't spill all the beans. You can't give it all up. You can't give the store away. You have to put out an appetizer first. You have to start the main course maybe with a salad. I'm not going to throw a full steak and lamb down your throat. You'll choke on it. Little by little, you have to be able to be digestible. Leave a little mystery in the mix.
Yeah.
Sounds like a song, Wardell. We should work on. Leave a little mystery in the mix.
So I just want to make sure we answered that question. How can I be sure where my relationship sits? Remember being in love.
You have to pay attention. I'm sorry. I thought you were finished with that passage. You have to be able to answer. Huh?
What else? Go ahead. You were saying
we have a delay.
Oh, okay.
Phoenix.
Yes, I was just to answer the question. More simplistically, is that you, like you mentioned, you have to pay attention. You have to put out certain feelers and touchstones. One of the other listeners spoke of your actions is a cardinal attribute. It's not what you say, it's what you do. And if you're constantly asking for things and you're not in a position to be reciprocal, then this is a problem. because then the relationship becomes one-sided. It's like you're constantly going to the refrigerator to pull out goods, but you never go grocery shopping. That's not good. Eventually, you'll deplete the relationship.
There you go. I was just opening the refrigerator door in the studio when you said that.
Oh,
I was
no.
going to the refrigerator.
But you're telling me to mute my mic. Boy, I tell you.
I was just putting something in. Oh, man. So, but anyway, thank you, guys. I think I appreciate all the information. There were some things there. Whoa. That thing was talking about the hygiene thing was scary. Like, Lord, that's crazy. And
but
it's one
though.
Of those things.
I mean, that's something that needs to be said. There's a lot of brothers, like you said. You might be a mechanic. You might be a baller. You might be an athlete. You might be a carpenter. And you come home, hey, baby, 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 yo. And she's like, no, baby, baby, no. Wash up first.
Go upstairs, take care of yourself. But that's also, you know, like you can, so, like a lot of the questions you can answer yourself, you know, and just by paying attention, and you know the answers to those questions, and so don't play yourself. There's a lot of us that just sometimes we get so caught up in the wrong part of the relationship. You know, maybe this is, I can't wait to get with her. Oh, man, she's this and that. And we're so focused on just trying to get with her. And before you know it, you're in this long-term relationship with this person and you don't even like her or him. So, you know, so you can't complain at the end of the day about them because they showed you who they were in the beginning, but you didn't care because you're so focused on trying to get what you want. And not paying attention to everything. The answers were right there, but you weren't trying to answer it because you're so busy trying to get what you wanted to get. So we have to really pay attention in anything we do.
You have to, paying attention requires balance. You can't be pay attention, and you're trying to strain the gnat out of the person's eye, as they mentioned, you have the rafter in yours. So it has to be balanced.
Right.
You have to, you know, love is a two-way street. You have to forgive and forget. You have to give. You have to take, to be willing to reciprocate and not be the kind of person that uses I, and me, and never us, we. We need to reciprocate. We need to take the other person's feelings into consideration. And I think that has become, you know, we're kind of a little off topic because we started really with qualities or cardinal qualities. And I think we covered quite a few of them, from economics to communication, silent communication, body language, finances, et cetera. And then we touched upon something that made my friend here uncomfortable, but it has to be talked about, hygiene. You know, some women want the guy with the pearly teeth. I don't have. One day, hopefully, I'll be able to afford it and get them done. But there's so many things that become on the laundry list when people are looking for muscles. We didn't talk about athletics and being fit. Some women say, hey, I like the dad bod type. I've recently come across that in quite hefty numbers. Women say, I'm looking for a guy that has a dad bod. What is that about?
You know what? It's funny you bring that. You know, I know we got a few minutes left. Again, the guys are listening to Solo Records Radio. Of course, I want to bring in a female perspective on this. As far as what she may see, is it aesthetics or is it someone going back to the part where we was like, is it aesthetics? Is it the way a person looks, or is it the way that, you know, she can be laughed, you know, as far as her guard down? So I'm going to put now as a big brother, I really don't want to hear this, but I would love to get her perspective on it. as a woman, and I have my baby sister on, Markia. That's Wardell Phoenix. This is my baby sister, Markia. She is very, very insightful on her views when it comes to compatibility. So, Markia, go ahead, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everyone. How are y'all?
Good, hey, girl.
Good.
How's it going?
All right. Nice to hear your voice again.
Hello. Nice to hear yours as well.
All right. Are you in Texas?
No, yes, she's in Texas. Well, she's in Arkansas.
All right.
No, right?
She's on the border.
Yeah.
I'm actually driving on state line right now, like on the border of Arkansas.
Okay.
So,
there you go.
So,
all right, so you know what we're talking about, so go ahead on and share your thoughts.
Well, I was just piggybacking on what you said. I was on the call and I was muted. My thoughts are, because I went through this little situation not too long ago where, you know, I'm giving – you know, time and communication and all that type of stuff, and it's not being reciprocated. And I'm pretty much answering my own questions, you know. Is this worth my time? Should I be buying this guy the Christmas gifts and stuff like that, and I'm not getting all this stuff in return, and, you know, I'm you know, just doing all these things for a guy that's not giving that back to me. And, you know, I'm
mm-hmm.
Like you guys were saying, it's like, why am I doing this for somebody that's not, you know, doing the same for me? But,
it's,
you know, to be compatible with someone is not reciprocated. To be compatible, you know, you have to, it's give and take, you know, it's 50-50. So, you know, I mean, I'm not an expert in love at all. I'm not going to, you know, proclaim that. But, you know, I've had my issues in love and whatnot. But, like, right now I'm single. I'm dating. You know, I'm still trying to find that one that I'm compatible with. I'm not in a rush to get in a relationship. I'm not in a rush, you know, to get married or nothing. But, you know, it's, you know, you take your time.
You know, I just want to address something. You know, years ago you had an artist, Teddy Pendergrass, that spoke 50-50 love. And what's interesting, that came up in a spiritual discussion. And I would just like
mm-hmm.
to set the record straight. I believe in a relationship, you should put 100%, possibly 110% of you. Don't hold back 50%. And as you should, because the notion of a 50-50 love to me is lacking 50% of your authenticity. And as you go forward,
right.
And I love the fact that you said you're not looking to rush. You sound like a very intelligent, stable woman. Your brother is obviously a very educated man, so kudos to your parents.
Thank you.
Continue to be cautious. Continue to ask open-ended questions. Continue to be balanced, not only with your laundry list, but your ability to reciprocate too. And when you find yourself in a situation when it's all taking and no giving, it's a huge red flag to move on. Like that state line you're on, get on the other side of that state.
most definitely.
Well, again, you never answered my question. I know you're listening in, but I gotta troll you for a second, because what do you see? And what would you see more as far as compatibility? Do you look at looks first, or the guy that gives, you know, a sense of humor? You know, is it one of those things?
With me, looks have never been a big thing with me. Of course, you know, if a woman say they don't go off looks, they, I mean, nine times out of ten they're lying. But the big thing. Big thing with me is sense of humor. Can we have a conversation? You know, can we conversate without it going, you know, off, you know, where it shouldn't go? You know, can we sit, you know, and just have an intellectual conversation? Can you stimulate my intellect?
Wow.
Those type of things.
Sapiosexual.
That type of thing. I mean,
yeah.
Right. Those type of things. your personality, you know. Those are big things to me.
And if I could just touch on something that you said that I don't want it to go remiss, is that can you stay on topic, gentlemen that are listening? Don't approach a lady with one thought in mind of having a sexual encounter, okay?
Right.
If you can stay away from sexual innuendos and stick on something, it's actually called sapiosexual, because I was identified as being sapiosexual. If you want to attract me, you have to stimulate my mind. I'm way past
exactly.
the Boy Scout stage. If I never have sex again, it might be too soon. I don't need sex to make me me. So, but what I do need is a stimulating discussion. I need to know that the person that I'm communicating with cares enough to have an intelligent discussion. And I don't want to talk
right.
about sports. I don't want to go off topic. I don't want to talk about nonsensical things. I want to get into the meat and potatoes of who you are. I want to know who you are. And I want
exactly.
you to know who I am. And if we can't do that,
absolutely.
I'm bored. You know, I get a lot of women that come to me, they want to talk about my hair, they want to talk about, and I'm like, really? Like, are we done? Like, goodbye?
Like, right. Like, I want to know what
who
makes
I am
you
when
you.
I look in. Yeah, that's not what I'm about. I mean,
right.
and I'm glad you said, if most women say they're not looking at looks, that 9 times out of 10 lying. Let me say, it's called attraction, and I've said this to people.
Right.
I'm attracted to your
mm-hmm.
attractiveness. That's the
right.
first thing. You know, if you're looking like who did it and got away with it, I might be less inclined to find out what's in the food.
Absolutely.
But if you look presentable and your hygiene, and as a woman you comport yourself, that's very important to me. I love to see a lady. I don't want to see all your body parts. You know, leave a little
right.
up to my imagination, ladies,
to
please.
Imagination.
I'm a man. And in the end of the day, I'm a typical male in that regard. But if you dress in a nice dress, I love the business attire. I like to see a woman that knows how to wear a dressed-up outfit. I don't want to always see you in combat boots and jeans like me. I think a man should
yeah,
be a man
right.
and a woman should be a woman. And I'm revealing my old-fashionedisms. But for me, that's important. Maybe for another guy, that's not so important. But I think women should be women and men should be men.
Absolutely.
What a good.
Wow.
Wow.
All right, guys. See, you got Phoenix going now. Lord.
Yeah, Lord got me in trouble, man.
Yeah, so are you on your way to work?
Oh, no, I'm off today. I'll go back in tomorrow, work my 5 12-hour shift.
Oh, Lord, she's a nurse, Phoenix. She take care of. She's taking care of her.
And I love
so
that. You know,
that's a great quality.
I have
right
to put
there.
In a plug to women who take care of people. It's a beautiful thing. You know, when you put the needs of others ahead of yourself, it's a beautiful thing. When you're self-absorbed, and I don't think a nurse gets to be self-absorbed because, you know, they're constantly cleaning incontinence and all kinds of messy issues.
Right.
So to me, in the truest sense, I look for the characteristics of a nurse and a woman. I really do. So,
yeah.
And if you nurses out there, I'm crying out to you.
I love it. That's great.
Well,
all right,
I
guys.
Appreciate you.
Well, thank
is,
you.
Is my
so
nephew
much.
Up
thank
in
you.
There? Is my nephew in there?
Yes.
Say hello. You're on the air, nephew.
Hello.
We heard a mumble.
I know.
He's giggling.
Why are you giggling? I know.
He's
my 19-year-old nephew.
He's taking notes. He's a smart one, John. He's probably got his pen pad out. Yeah, he's like, you know what? I'm going to get me the right woman. I'm listening to what these brothers are talking about, and I'm taking notes. Dotting my team.
Right.
I'm gonna put him on the spot. Walter, are you taking notes?
Yes.
Right on.
He said, yeah.
Silence is golden.
Yes. I know. I put him on the spot like that. We appreciate you. We appreciate you hanging out with us.
no problem. Anytime. I love talking to you guys.
All right. Well, you're always welcome. Call in. And we will be so, guys, I want to say thanks again, everybody, for just, sharing their thoughts. And I'd like to thank the listeners for sharing their words and wisdom as well. Ooh, do I see more? I see more. Man, they just want to keep going. Lord.
They want to keep.
And see, Lord, you were afraid that this wasn't going to be a meat and potatoes topic. And you know what? I just want to say to the defense of that I knew in the time that we're living, one of the most sought-after discussions, especially within social media, is the litany of qualities that people are looking for in their relationship mates. And so we could probably even have a part two to this. You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
You know, maybe old married brothers that have been married a long time, they don't appreciate the game, but the game has not changed. In fact, it's gotten more intense. Social media and Instagram and filters have taken relationship qualities to the next level. So be on top of your game, my brothers and my wonderful sisters.
All right, you guys. Well, so we'll catch you guys later. And thanks, Phoenix, for closing us out with that statement. And thanks again. We appreciate you guys. And we'll be back again right after this. Don Fleming and Wardell Potts as we mix it up on Solar Records Radio.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
A chair is still a chair, even when there's no one sitting there. But oh, a chair, not a house. And a house is not a home when there's no one there. So hold you tight and no one there that you can. Good night. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Hello, bye-bye, baby. Yeah. A room is still a room, even when there's nothing there but gloom. But oh, a room is not a house, and a house is not a home when the two of us, we are far apart, and one of us heart. Yeah, now and then, now I call your name, and suddenly your face appears, but it's just a crazy game, and when it ends, it little darling, have a heart, yeah, baby. And don't let one mistake keep us apart. I was wrong and I know it. Forgive me, honey, 'cause I'm not meant to live alone. Oh, please be there. Yeah. and turn the key. Oh, baby, please be there and still in love. I said, still
I've got
Now, that is my group Dynasty right there, and I love, love, love. I just love Kevin's voice on that song, and but I love the groove. The groove is just moving, and the ladies are just like, "Come get it, baby! Here I am!" Like, what? Okay, all right then. And so, but anyway, guys, this is Wardell Pasquini. I'd like to thank Phoenix and Don for a wonderful first half, and so we're just getting into mixing it up. Now tomorrow we're supposed to have a special guest, but due to the fact that they're overseas, we're having some communication issues. That shouldn't be the case, but it is, and so it is what it is. And so hopefully we can get our guest on tomorrow, Mr. Tony. And so, you know, y'all know how the entertainment business is. It's all over the place, right? It is always all over the place. Some things never change, and that's the bottom line. Uh-oh, my little brother just fell into the microphone. Hey, Doc.
No, I'm here. You know, you played Here I Am. You played Dynasty's version of Here I Am. For the past week, we've been kind of just trolling the listeners, but kind of going back, because I found out, of course, Midnight Star had their version and you guys had y'all version, but you guys were basically the OGs, you know, the original gangsters of it, even though it was written by the Calloway brothers. They just never released it on their album in 81. They re-released it on their remastered in 2010. But, I mean, I love the guitar. I love that guitar riff at the end, man. The late, great Richard Randolph is just amazing. And Linda and Nigel's voices, just beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I give kudos to you guys on that one.
Thank you. So, you know, so we're mixing it up now, guys. So that's where we are. I can't believe we only have 34 minutes left. I guess, you know, we went over on the first show and the first topic and stuff. Thanks for bringing baby girl on, Don. That was nice, man.
Yeah, my baby sister Marquia. She is, that's my
sweetheart.
World, man. That's my world.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
So
she is such a sweetheart. And yeah, that was awesome. And I appreciate that. And so when I played, I was going through the songs and I saw Here I Am. And because you've been playing it like crazy, I decided, you know, it's my turn.
You've been playing it like crazy.
You've been playing it like crazy. Listen, anytime you play the same song back to back every day, you're playing it like crazy.
I know.
That's a lot. So, but anyway, you got it, man. You got it. So what you got for us?
Man, you know what? We got about 33 minutes left to the show. Again, thank you so much for tuning in and hanging out. Yeah, this is Fat Larry's band, Act Like You Know, from 1982,
Philly,
right?
Philly,
yeah. Let's check it out. Keep it locked right here. This is it. Of course, it's mixing it up. Yeah, mixing it up a little bit on Solar Records Radio. Keep it locked.
Just take off your shoes and go to the happiest place you know. Oh,
pressure. Like you don't and you won't.
So we set the stage for you to see that dancing makes you really wanna be. Yeah.
exchange, and Carlita Duran, of course, that's your girl from the Love and Flying Colors album. Dreams Are Made for Two from 2014. Great album, man. Great album. I love that song. I love her voice. And just an amazing group. Hopefully we can get them back making some albums, making some good music and everything. Of course, before that, gave you a little Gino Vannelli, some classic Blue Eyed Soul right there from I Just Want to Stop. He's this white guy, and he had this amazing afro. I don't know what that was about. I loved it, man. Gino Vannelli was the dude. And of course, started off the block. That Larry's Band.
Mm-hmm.
Act Like You Know.
Philly.
And you know what?
Philly's the best.
Straight out of Philadelphia. I got to add, that song was on Grand Theft Auto. A lot of kids, I guess, I knew it when it came out. Well, you know, I'm tooting my own horn, but no. but when Grand Theft Auto had it, you know, when Grand Theft Auto used it, it was just like a newer generation of kids just started, you know, going down that rabbit hole. At that time, we didn't really have YouTube, so I guess kids were just kind of going on the internet and going through LimeWire and Napster. I guess that was in the early 2000s. You know, where people were downloading and pirating music and things like that. But that, again, that's a different story. That's a different subject down the road. But, again, I love the fact that the cool thing about that game, of course, you had posted it on the Solar Records radio page. You posted it. The picture on the thumbnail when you posted the song was this, of course, imaginary, of course, the DJ from the one of the radio stations. Of course, he looks like Barry White, but his name is Oliver Lake. He looks like Barry White.
Oh,
he does. And his name on the game is Oliver Lady Killer Biscuit. Dig that. Oh. That is a cool name, man. I wish I could name my son Oliver Biscuit, you know, but no, that is a cool name. And also, you know, And the Beat Goes On by The Whispers is on that album, on that game. Oh God, what else is on that game?
What's the name of the game?
Now, Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Vice City. It's on that game. Yeah.
Text it to me.
Okay, I'm going to text it to you.
I got to send it off to my publisher.
I think it's you're a little too late.
No,
you're about 20 years too late, man.
No, 20 years? It was 20 years ago?
Yeah, that game came out in 2002.
Oh. That's okay.
I mean, you can do it.
They're still doing, you know, they still are you know, uploading songs that we did back in the day into their new stuff. So we'll get paid from that, too.
There you go.
And some,
there you go.
Some companies
and,
go back 6 years to, you know, 6 years, 10 years, to, you know, to pay royalties. So I'm all good. You never know. I just found out I have more money from my retirement from other companies I didn't even know about. I was like, really? Okay, I'll take it.
Oh, that's a blessing. It's a blessing, especially when you didn't know about it. Like,
I know.
Man, I'm broke. Uh-oh, what? No, but...
a
lot of solo... Wow, see? See? I think when you have... again, these games are great. It's a great conduit as far as bridging that generational gap, because a lot of kids are going back to a lot of the older music, and they're like, dude, I did not know. I used to hate this when my mom played it or my grandmama played it or whatever, you know, but they're starting. And like you had made a testament of your son. Your son had even came to you and was just like, you know, this is some great music, you know, pop or whatever, you know.
But he was saying,
yeah,
it like,
so,
I didn't know. He was telling me, like, I didn't know.
Like, did you know? Have you ever heard of Earth, Wind, and Fire, Dad? You know,
like,
but
you
no,
just you just don't understand. I was like, I don't.
I mean, songs like Lakeside, a Fantastic Voyage on the Grand Theft Auto soundtracks. I mean, you have a plethora of just great music, whether it's funk music, where there's a lot of that 70s and 80s music, and then and a lot of New Jack Swing. Matter of fact, there was another game called San Andreas, arguably one of the greatest games ever. That was on as PlayStation 2, was in the generation before the last one, or actually a couple of generations ago because we're on the PS5 now. But, I mean, a lot of these old games are starting to make a comeback, and a lot of the soundtrack, as a matter of fact, the newer editions of them had pulled some of the songs out because of copyright, because of, I guess, expiration of copyright or whatever. But, for example, Michael Jackson's You Wanna Be Starting Something was on the original soundtrack in 2002, and it wasn't on this newer definitive edition. So, again, you know, give or take, it's still some things that, you know, it's a good, again, like I said, it's a good conduit to have, you know, kids kind of just listening, like you said, including your son, your youngest and whatnot. But a lot of kids are starting to get that appreciation of what musicianship was about, what the artistry was about. Again, everyone had their issues. There was some bad music back then. There was some terrible, awful music back then. Don't get me wrong, but it wasn't the norm. It was the exception to the norm. And now a lot of people arguably say that a lot of the music now, it's not about albums anymore. It's about, you know, singles and you know. Oh God, right. Ring! Even though I'm outdated, even though I'm saying ringtones, but you get what I'm saying. Digital sales and things like that. But anyway, let me get off my soapbox. And we got about another 12 minutes left of the show. It's going to pretty much wrap it up. But we got a couple of songs we can just incorporate in the show. Wardell, you got any final thoughts? Any words or any questions you have for me on that end, as far as being a gamer?
No words for the gamer. I know nothing about the gamer besides I need to look for my royalties. And I want to say thanks again.
Uh-oh.
To
I didn't open the can of worms on him. He's about to go
what?
Searching.
What?
I didn't open the can of worms.
Yeah, you did. It's all good. You know, we if we did the work, we should get paid for it. That's all that matters. Right?
I totally agree.
There you go.
I totally agree.
Thanks, Greg, for the amazing work you do with your artwork. It's a blessing for us here at Solar Records Radio. And I want to thank the listeners so much for tuning in and being a blessing to us here. We appreciate you very, very much. You guys are awesome. And thanks for just, you know, for liking our page. We appreciate that. More than you know, and feel comfortable and feel free to, you know, post stuff, you know, on the page. All right, and remember, it's a Christian-based station, so we try to be respectful about what we post and caring. Thanks for all the birthday wishes to Gayla and to all the other celebrity guests that we post up on our page. We thank you for liking them. We do really appreciate your hearts. I want to also put a special prayer out for our sister Angela, who's in the hospital. She just had surgery. She's one of the listeners. She posted to pray for her, and we did. And then she
most
just
definitely
posted
prayer sent.
Yeah, and she just posted that the surgery went well. So thank you, God, for keeping and taking care of her. So, you know, guys, we do appreciate all of you guys and everyone, and we care about you, and we thank you for caring about us here at Solar Records Radio. So one of the things that I want to dedicate this song to you guys as, you know, we want to always be there for you, and we appreciate if you do that for us as well. So good night, and God bless. I'll play this song and Donna closes out. You guys take care. All right, Don. Much love,
all right.
Bro.
All right. Have a good
see
one.
You guys. All right.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Stand by me. It's the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble. As long as you stand by me. And
make your mark for your friends to see. But when you need more than company, don't go to strangers, come on to me.
Every lesson learned, in your knowledge, were your wealth and